God of mercy, your realm has drawn near. Help us prepare a way for you to enter our minds and hearts, a way for you to enter the world with might, for the sake of justice, mercy, and peace. Help us repent. Grant us hearts of faith. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. You are shoots from the root of God. You shall sprout and blossom. The Spirit of the Blessed One shall rest on you, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of mindfulness and reverence for God. Your delight shall be in obedience of the Holy One. You will not judge by appearances or make decisions according to hearsay, but act with respect toward the poor and choose for the well-being of the powerless. With the word you will disarm tyrants and you will blow away all oppression. Justice shall be the belt around your waist, and faithfulness the coat around your shoulders. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion together. And a little child shall lead them. No one will harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Beloved, as the waters cover the sea. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the realm of heaven is near." He is the one of whom the prophet wrote in saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Holy One, clear a path for God." Now John wore clothes of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And all the people from Jerusalem and Judea were coming out to him from all along the region of the Jordan to be baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Sadducees and Pharisees coming, he said to them, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear the fruit that comes from repentance. Don't start saying to yourselves, 'Oh, well, we're descendants of Abraham and Sarah.' You know, if God needs descendants of Abraham and Sarah, God can raise them up out of these stones. The axe is already lying at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, much more powerful than I, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, who stands already, winnowing fork in hand. And the threshing floor will be cleared, and the wheat will be gathered into the granary, and the chaff burned with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, John, whoa. That's as close as I will ever get to a hellfire and damnation sermon. That's it, right there. But it's right there in Scripture, so I've got to read it. But the thing is, it leaves out part of the story. When John talks about repentance, he uses all these images of axes and winnowing forks and fire and trees being cut down and chaff being thrown away. It sounds like repentance is pretty destructive and horrible stuff. Well, that's just a little tiny piece of the story. Repentance doesn't just mean sort of changing your mind. Repenting is not repainting. It's not a matter of saying, oh, I don't like that, oh, I think I'll do this. Repenting is like remodeling. Like the Grinch, who had to completely change his life. And if you've ever remodeled, you know that the first step is demolition. If you really want to change your life, you're going to have to cut out some old habits and throw them away in order to live in a new way. If you're going to take on a new attitude, a new way of seeing the world, you're going to have to get rid of an old way of seeing the world. And it can feel kind of like chopping things up and throwing them away. It can feel destructive. Repentance can be like that. But you notice that behind all that imagery of axes and fires and destructive stuff, in John's words, there are images of fruit, bearing fruit, and a harvest, wheat that's gathered into the granary. When we repent, it's not simply because we're saying no to the bad stuff. We're saying yes to the good stuff. So we deal with everything that gets in the way of the good stuff. When the gardener prunes the tree, it's not because she doesn't like the tree or is angry at the tree or is even judging the tree. She can just discern which branches are bearing fruit and which ones are dead. She's cutting off dead branches because she loves the tree. When you weed your garden, it's not because you hate the garden. It's not even because you hate the weeds. It's because you love the garden. When we repent, it's not that we feel bad about ourselves. We're not going after ourselves with axes and unquenchable fire. It's because there are these fruits that we want to bear and we acknowledge what gets in the way. So we clear those out so that we can faithfully bear fruit. And here's the great thing about repentance. It's not learning a new skill. It's true that we will learn some new skills and we will live in new ways. We will seemingly become new people. But here's the mystery. When the gardener prunes that tree so that it will bear more fruit, it doesn't have to go out and find better fruit. It already has the fruit. It's in the tree. When you repent, you're not trying to become a different person. Who you are is already there. God has already created this beautiful, powerful, perfect, lovely person. It's already there. It's like in your DNA. And repenting is simply acknowledging who your real self is and getting rid of all that other stuff, the false stuff, the things that get in the way of that perfect gift. Repenting is saying yes. There's a little demolition that goes on so that you can really say yes. Once upon a time, there was a humble inn owner who had a little inn in a nondescript little town, and business was usually about like business always is. Sometimes there were customers and sometimes there weren't. But then, one day, The town was absolutely packed with people. And the inn was full. To max, no more vacancies. The inn owner was thrilled. He'd never had business so good. And he got everybody settled and he was about to go to bed. There was another knock on the door and he opened the door and there was this young couple, obviously having traveled a long distance. And they asked for a place and he said, "I'm sorry, there's no room." And then he noticed that this woman standing there looked like she was about 10 months pregnant. And she looked pretty weary from this trip, and she looked like she was in some kind of turmoil, and she realized, "Oh my golly, she's going to have that baby tonight. I can't turn them away. But I have no room. What in the world can I do? There's nothing left but the barn." So he runs out to the barn, and he flings open the doors, and it's a total mess. Oh no. The cows and the sheep are in there pooping on the floor and there's hay all over and there's tools and hardware scattered around. He runs in there, grabs a pitchfork and starts heaving hay over the wall, scooping up with the shovel, throwing all the manure over into the next stall, throwing tools over the wall, shoving stuff aside. He's frantic, but he's got to make a place because there's a baby coming. And it's the least he can do to make a place to prepare for this baby who's coming. And it doesn't seem like much. But it's just what's needed. There is a holy baby. A baby God. Coming into your life. And you really need to prepare. Because it's a wonderful gift. You're going to have to clear some stuff out to make some space. You're going to have to heave some things over the wall. But it'll be all right. So then, how do we do that? How do we clear out a space? How do we decide what needs to stay and what needs to go? How do we figure out which branches to prune and which ones to feed? Well, the ancient Christian practice of the examen gives us this wonderful help. The examen, the examination of consciousness, is a way of becoming more mindful of what parts of our lives are bearing fruit and what parts are just dead branches. It's a prayer that comes in two parts. You don't have to work at it. It's not a thing that you pray. It's just a way that you be. In the first part, we simply become mindful of how God is bearing fruit in our lives. Remember, over the last short period of time, where have we experienced God bearing fruit in our lives? It might simply be our own goodness that made a difference. It might be something that happened to us. Where do we see that bearing fruit? We simply become mindful of it and give thanks. The second half of the prayer, we allow ourselves to become mindful of the things that get in the way. Remember, over the last short period of time, when have we felt that clutter that got in the way of real life, of real bearing gifts? When did it feel like it was dead branches? When did it feel like it was stuff that needed to be tossed? You don't have to work at it. You don't have to obsess over how bad you are. You don't even have to really think about it. Just let it come to you. Where have I experienced those dead branches recently? And simply, we open ourselves to God's mercy. You don't have to change anything. Just be aware and be open to God's mercy. When we pray that examen over and over, we become more profoundly aware of where those healthy fruits and those dead branches are in our lives. And then we're ready to actually make decisions and make changes and start clearing things out, start making those changes that John so wants us to do. But we begin simply by becoming mindful that there is this divine gift in us that we really want to honor. And there are things that get in the way. And the more mindful we are of that, the more we allow God to prepare the way in us. And that baby God is born. And new life comes to us. So we're going to practice that this morning. We'll sing this song. And then we'll spend some time praying the examen. You'll notice that frequently our prayers of confession are in those two parts. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for this mystery that you are so profoundly present and yet still coming. We thank you for this gift that you are born in us, that you bear fruits in our lives. So we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace.